a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Will indeed come to order. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senator Buell O'Donnell.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Lederman.
Here.
Soholt.
Here.
Thiessen.
Here.
Holleen.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here. Thank you.
Quorum.
This committee has had the opportunity to review our grueling minutes from our last meeting. I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Senator Soholt. Second by Senator Holleen. Comments, discussion on that motion to approve our minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are, in fact, approved. We are going to have some grueling testimony today on these four bills, but prior to getting started, let's pick on her page. This is her final day here. You want to come up and, again, I think we've had you before or somewhere, but if you could hit the microphone and identify yourself, and I think your plans are for...
Tell us your favorite time out here.
Favorite time? So many of them. Well, I'm Sydney Carey. I plan to attend SGSU, I'm sure you all heard that, for civil engineering, and my favorite time... I don't really know. Probably hanging out with all the other pages, getting to know them. It's pretty. We have a good time, and everyone gets along good, so it's been pretty fun.
Excellent. You can tell we all get along really good. Well, we are. We're a big family. We can disagree, but we got each other's back. Welcome. We really appreciate the 2 weeks that you spent with us. It's a quick reminder. Executive decision, we will not be meeting on Monday, so Senator Soholt can come in Monday morning. She wants another night's sleep on her own mattress.
Second.
Anything to come before this committee before we get started? CNN, we're going to take these bills in order. It looks like they were somehow or another that the House of Representatives did their job very, very well, and they're sending us some good, polished bills. Let's go to work. Let's take proponent testimony in House Bill 1087. Proposal to change how rural fire protection districts conduct elections. Senator Ewing, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Senators. I'm not going to share my favorite time with you this year. So I'll just get right into the bill. This is a bill that's made it through the House. I didn't really look at the numbers. I think it come through very healthy. It's a very simple bill, an act to change how rural fire protection districts conduct elections. As it stands, and this came out of a fire district in my community in Lawrence, they usually elect their directors from their body, from the people that show up to the meetings. And part of the problem with that is they... typically, they don't get a lot of members show up, and so they struggle with it. So what this bill does is gives them the option of placing their members that they'd like to have elected to their board on a municipal or a county ballot. And it's a permissive bill because it doesn't say they have to. It just gives them that option if they so choose to do so. And there's also language in the bill that they'll share in the expense of that. I don't know what much more I can really say about it. It's just a nice, short, clean bill. And I urge your support on this bill, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Additional proponent testimony on this nice, short, clean bill, according to the primary sponsor.
My name is Steve Willard. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Joint Fire Council. They represent the professional firefighters, the volunteers, the arson investigators, and the chiefs and the like. We're here as proponents on this nice, clean, short, simple, polished bill. I think the changes they made with the elections and the timing are real positive. They're sensible. I know that they're doing it with a sincere effort to increase participation. I think that's always a good thing. Probably the more significant portion of the bill that we haven't talked about is I'd call your attention to line 6, where we make the change from and to or. That's something that we have talked about frequently. That change has never really been suggested. What that means is that the electors in the past had to reside in the district of the fire protection districts. In this particular case, the electors or who reside in the district. So for those homeowners that don't live there in the district are now be eligible to serve as electors. We don't think that's a negative. It's something we've talked about it. Honestly, we don't know really the impact of that, whether you live in the district or out. But we think that the opportunity to increase participation is a good thing. We know there's a distinction. We're not sure really the effect, but we may have a chance to find out. That's the portion of it that's probably more interesting to us. But the local fire district involved is very supportive. You've got former Senator Representative Apa sits on that board. Judge John serves as the attorney for that group. So we've had sound minds come to a sound end, and we're very supportive.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Additional proponent testimony, House Bill 1087. Anybody else wishing to speak in support of 1087? Seeing none, is there opposition to House Bill 1087? Anybody as an opponent to 1087? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony, waive rebuttal, turn it over to any committee questions, discussion, or action on House Bill 1087.
Chair. Senator Teason.
So the significant and or change in line six, that means that if I own a piece of property and I live in Rapid City and I rent some dwelling on the property to somebody else, that means we both get to vote?
Mr. Chairman, no. The restriction is, if you'll know, if you start with line five, the vote would be restricted to the owners of the property assessed for taxation in the district. So the renter, unless they're paying the taxes, would not be eligible.
Follow up?
Yeah.
But it says who are owners
or
who are residing.
Mr. Chairman, we're assuming that would be either or. If you are, let's take the example that you suggested. I think in this particular case, the first preference would be for yourself or the owner or the resider could vote. I don't think and. We've interpreted that in the past to be that you live in the district and you're a taxpayer. With the change, the significance is that it would be probably first you or the person who's residing in the district. I don't think both would vote. I think one or the other would vote. I honestly am not sure how we'll sort those out.
But one more. So if six people are part of a partnership that owns a parcel of land, do they each get to vote?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure. I think, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I think that in this particular case, those six people, that may be a question directed to the Board of Elections. In this particular case, if those six people lived in the district, that's probably a legitimate question for that time as well. And I'm not sure how they treat that. It would be the taxpayers of record. A majority interest? I'm not sure how you'd work that out.
One more. So if the property is owned by a corporation, who gets to vote?
Mr. Chairman, my expectation would be that we treat, I'm not sure, and I would defer to someone who knows more about local election law than myself, and my expectation would be that we treat the corporation as a person, and that the corporation probably gets to vote in that case, but I'm not sure. I'm not really a voter. I'm not sure. I honestly don't know. And I would love to find out the answer to that. It's part of the reason that we'd never suggested the change. But I'm not sure some of those questions don't necessarily belong to whether it's and or. We've added a nuance with the change to or, but I'm not sure the answer to the corporation and whether you're a resident or not. There's a lot of questions there that would probably a local elected official could tell you in a second. I'm not certain.
Good question, Senator. Additional
Yeah, very.
Committee Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Lederman.
Question for Mr. Willard. Just clarifying on line 8, page 1, line 8, where we change the shall to may, where it says the annual election may be conducted during the regular meeting consistent with the provisions. If it were not held at the regular meeting, when would it be held? If it weren't at a regular meeting, how would they or where would they actually hold the election?
Mr. Chairman, I think the shall to may would coincide with the new section that added section 2. The bottom of that page 1 goes on to section 2. So ordinarily, they'd have the election at their annual meeting. By adding the opportunity for the board to choose to hold the board in conjunction with a regular municipal election, they now have given themselves the option to hold it at the annual or with the general municipal election. So I think the one change is kind of predicated on the other.
Thank you. Additional committee questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Buell O'Donnell.
Thank you. To follow up on Senator Lederman's question, is this the only place in code where their options for setting up that election are addressed if this bill passes?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I'm helping the proponents much this morning. and my knowledge of local election law, I'm not sure. I think, you know, the issue with the annual election is just like if you're a business, your annual meeting, or you are all compelled to have an annual meeting. That doesn't necessarily the meeting in which most of the people show up. You serve coffee, you make sure the invite, you're compelled to advertise, you do the best you can. But I think the thinking behind the sponsors, and I sat over on the House side and we've talked about it, is that you're more likely to have more people participating in the general municipal election if it's on the ballot than you would at the annual. I'm not sure whether or not it's the only local. You've got Yvonne in the back. You know, there's probably some of the special districts where it sure makes a lot of sense. And there's an awful lot of elections that are out there that are in addition to the Rural Fire Protection District. I'm not sure if it's the only one with the option.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Thank you. So I guess the question I really have is, it seems like there are two options that are laid out in this bill for when that election would be held. My concern is just trying to make sure that there's not like a door number three, that people really would have an understanding of when the election may be held. Can you speak to that at all? Is this really putting in just those two options, or is this maybe one that we wouldn't be aware of?
Mr. Chairman, it's just the two options. The challenge, I guess, to that answer is that the annual meeting can be held at any time they wanted to hold it. You're going to have publishing requirements that accompany whichever the meeting that you'd hold it at. They're trying to err on the side of municipal election having more participation. And we agree, you know, with that, you know, with where they're landing. But they're compelled to notice no matter when the meeting is held, and it would be the annual meeting or the municipal election in this case. So the two option.
Additional committee questions? Before I get into that discussion phase, I did go through the audio, and it's pretty humbling that we have all of this knowledge and wisdom on the Senate side, because these questions were not posed on the House side. Discussion on House Bill 1087. Senator Teason, would you be comfortable in going through with a possible motion, or would you be more comfortable holding this until next week or so when you have some of your questions answered?
Mr. Chair. Well, Bill Clinton taught us the importance of the meaning of little words. And in this case, the little words are and or. And that change makes a huge difference. We've previously required, and I would respectfully disagree with one of the answers to the question, and we previously required ownership and residency, and now we say either or. We say or. And so I'm going to argue that if I'm the owner of property, I'm an elector, and if I'm a resident, I'm an elector. And so I get that. Then begs the question, so how many electors can one piece of property produce? And then we go from there. I mean, I think I may know some of the answers from a previous discussion about a particular road district about how corporations vote and all that sort of thing. But I think this raises, I mean, you know, my objection to property voting rights, but I think this kind of brings some of those objections to light. So to answer your question, I'm certainly comfortable with continuing this discussion, and if we want to try to clarify the answers to that, or maybe there's some fix that will satisfy somebody. I'm, again, based on my concern about property voting rights, you're going to be hard-pressed to get me on board with this, but it might be helpful for others to get the answers to some of these questions. Thank you.
Senator Teason, I'm impressed and proud that you did not bring up Rocky Road. I do appreciate that. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. You know, I'd really support getting some clarification on this, because we had a personal experience in muddied waters of voting eligibility in where we own a lake property. We were voting to form a sanitary district to protect the water. And what was interesting was, you know, out of a single property, there would be 35 votes that came from anyone who had spent, you know, a certain amount of time. And so I just feel this really does need to be clarified before we would make a decision. And I thank the senator for raising it.
Senator Ewing, prior to a motion, a formal motion coming out, do you have some clarification you'd like to offer, or possibly some comments on what very well could be a motion to hold on to this for a couple days?
Thank you. Bob Ewing, Senator, District 31 again. Yeah, I would certainly appreciate it if you held it over. I could, just in visiting with the other gentleman, I think we can offer an amendment later on here that would clean up the language and make it more palatable. So I would certainly appreciate it if you could hold it over. Thank you.
We wish you success with that, and we this committee is appreciative seeing that you are wearing a new tie as well. Additional committee discussion or action on 1087? How about we just make that executive decision, and with the consensus of this entire committee, we can defer action until next Wednesday. That date would be sometime in the future. We will defer action on House Bill 1087 until next Wednesday. Good job, Senator. You want to stick around and do some more proponent testimony or something? Good. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to work. House Bill, let's take up proponent testimony on House Bill 1091, proposal to allow municipalities and counties to adopt a property maintenance code. Representative Rounds, good morning. Proponent testimony in House Bill 1091.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, honorable members of the Senate Local Government Committee. Representative Tim Rounds, District 24, Pierre. 1091 is permissive language, and that's the key you got to remember in all this. There is the International Building Code, which has a whole variety of different sections in it. And what this bill is asking to do is to allow the adoption of the Property Maintenance Code on a standalone basis. The smaller communities out there, municipalities, counties, and whatever, what they would have to do is start with the International Building Code and then start amending it down to that portion that they want to use or keep. The Property Maintenance Code can be amended to fit the needs of each city or town. It provides a clear direction, and it's especially clear due process for procedures for taking care of personal property. So I believe it's a good bill for our local communities, smaller towns, cities. I'd ask for your support on this. I'll remain available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rounds. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1091. Ms. Taylor, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We just echo our support for this bill. I do have a copy of the property maintenance code. It's a nice, thin little thing. It is manageable. It provides good procedure, good due process, and just good definitions, good regulations, and it's something that our smaller towns are able to get a grasp on and get their feet on the ground in this area. It's one of the biggest areas that cities and towns face is cleaning up those properties that are just a wreck. And so we would urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Additional proponent testimony on 1091. Mr. Wilcox, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It's good to be back in front of this committee today. Hopefully we'll do a little bit better than we did the other day. But we rise in support of 1091 as well. As the previous speakers have mentioned, it is totally local control. It's a tool that we can use in our smaller counties and not get encumbered with a lot of the other particulars. And so with that, we're asking for your support of 1091. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Additional proponent testimony, 1091. Anybody else wishing to speak in support of 1091? Seeing none, is there opposition to House Bill 1091? Any opponents to 1091? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony, waive the rebuttal, turn it over to any committee questions.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This will be a question for the sponsor. He's still here.
Camouflage.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand the need for this bill. I mean, it says to allow municipalities and counties to adopt a property maintenance code and the local control. And does it say in statute that municipalities cannot adopt code? I mean, I'm just trying to understand why we need an overall state statute that with municipalities should be able to just decide a maintenance code for their community and go for it.
Mr. Chairman, bless you for that sentiment, Senator Soholt. We are allowed to adopt the International Building Code. Because there are questions about whether or not we need specific legislative authority, or if a more general legislative authority allows us to do things, we bring forward bills like this once in a while that give us the more specific legislative authority. We had municipalities that were uncomfortable with the notion of starting with just the property maintenance code because the statute that allows the adoption of the International Building Code does not reference specifically the property maintenance code. So they wanted it in statute so that it was clear that they had the authority to specifically adopt the property maintenance code.
Okay, so what does current statute say about property maintenance? I mean, I'm trying to understand, are you asking the legislature to be the heavy hand in this for communities that are uncomfortable? I mean, what position legislatively are you asking us to do? This is a manual. It's a maintenance code. Standards are developed by a community. What language in current statute makes it feel uncomfortable that communities couldn't use this manual?
Mr. Chairman, I believe if you look at, I think it's 1110.5, that is the statute that is the International Building Code adoption language. This mirrors that. I believe it's probably pretty identical, except this just says specifically the property maintenance code. I imagine this will be 1110.5.1 or 6, if there isn't one. It just goes into the same, it flows through. We're not asking you to be a heavy hand. You're not incorrect that we probably already have the authority to adopt this on its own. We absolutely have the authority to start with the entire International Building Code and weed it down to this. We're just asking for the specific legislative authority to start here instead of starting here.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. Here's my question. Because now we're going to have two. You have the International Building Code. What's the correlation? I'm trying to figure out one isn't meeting to the other because you know where I'm going with this with rules.
Mr. Chairman, on the back of this is the International Code family, and this is a piece of it. The International Building Code is all of these different things, and this is one part of that. I'm not sure I understand the rest of the question.
Well, here's the thing. So this, the city entity, you've got your building code, and now you've got this. So is there any cross because you're going to have challenges by the locals? I'm doing this versus this, and I'm a business owner.
Mr. Chairman, if you have the International Building Code adopted, you don't need to do this specifically, or you can include this in that process. Many of our towns do not have the building code adopted, and it would always be our recommendation that you ought not adopt something if you don't have the ability to enforce it. The International Building Code is too much for a lot of our towns to enforce, and so they do not adopt the building code. They go with the statewide, whatever the blanket coverage is, and they don't locally adopt the building code. But they might like to adopt this little piece of it that does work for a smaller town or a county that has not adopted a building code. If you've adopted the building code, this is probably already included in what you've already got on place. They cross in that it is the same base reference, and that's the good thing about the building codes is everybody knows here's this common set of rules that builders, architects, contractors, they all know the rules. They're the International Building Code. We all agree to those rules.
Okay, from a perspective of a business owner and I need to buy insurance, it's based on the rating of my community as part of that. Does this impact anything on rating for a business owner that they'd have to pay more or less if a community just decided to do this versus doing the International Building Code?
Mr. Chairman, I do not believe so.
Additional committee questions? Again, I checked the audio from the House on this one, and we have some really good questions coming out of the Senate on this.
Mr. Chairman, I maybe should have gone with the interpretive dance.
Committee discussion on House Bill 1091 and or action. Prior to that, I guess it certainly is a novel attempt what the municipalities and the counties are trying to do. Again, there are lots of smaller communities, lots of smaller counties do not have the resources or the ability or frankly the desire to implement or adopt the entire International Building Code. This is might be a one little fraction of them to consider, and again, it is that local control if they desire to do it or not. Senator Holeen.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to pass.
Second by Senator Lederman. Any comments on that motion, Senator?
I'd just like to echo the comments that you just made, and I remember a similar bill 3 years ago in my first year where we had similar questions about the International Building Code and came to the same conclusion that it really didn't hurt anything and it helped a lot of the communities that needed it. So,
thank you. Any additional discussion on that do pass motion on House Bill 1091? Senator Soholt.
Yeah, I don't feel clear and convincing evidence that we actually need to move forward to have this in statute. And, you know, I think one of our jobs is to really think about what I'm concerned about is that, you know, if the governing body of any local unit adopts any ordinance prescribing standards for maintenance of existing structures and premises, the ordinance shall comply with the 2012 edition of the International Property Code. So I think it's interesting because then that's saying if you're going to adopt anything, then this is what you're going to adopt versus what is local control. And I'm like, would not our municipalities be able to just adopt that addition currently out of current statute? So I'm not.
If I can just follow up the part of that discussion, they would. However, this would be that legislative authority to offer them that comfort zone they actually could self-govern. It's a nice little additional piece into statute. And if this bill passes, I'm comfortable in assuming that not only you might not support it, but the odds of this making a consent are quite minimal as well. Additional discussion on that do pass motion on House Bill 1091.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
You know, I'm not sure I can support, but not for the reasons on the regulatory. I'm just, you know, raising the question because of all the discussions we have on building codes. And then, again, the liability and what's out there. And what does this do for a community, for that rating, for that business in that small community? I know you're shaking your head, and I just wish somebody would have been here from casualty to say, does this, because we're dealing with this, always updating the building codes for a community so that you stay in line with those, so that if there is any lawsuits or anything, that's where the statute has that we've got something in place. And, you know, this is a choice. Does that knock anything out, or... You know, that's my question, the unknown. Had there been that kind of testimony to support that, I'd feel comfortable.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Soholt.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Soholt.
You know, because I'd like to understand this better personally, and, you know, I apologize. I just thought maybe the testimony would help us see it clearly and how it fits with current statute and authority and control and the issues of liability and other buildings. I would like us to consider deferring so that we could get some of that answered.
Was that a substitute motion as opposed to the due pass motion on
House
Bill? Thank you.
Second.
And I have a second by Senator Bill O'Donnell. Additional comments or discussion on the substitute motion to defer House Bill 1091 till next Wednesday? Seeing none, that is the motion before this committee, is to defer House Bill 1091 until next Wednesday. I'll be comfortable with a voice vote on that one. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
House Bill 1091 is deferred until next Wednesday. Moving right along. And we just reminded this committee, we only have Senator Buell O'Donnell for the next couple minutes. She needs to, she has an appointment. Let's move right along. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1095. Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Over the past few years, we have tried to clarify which employees are hired, which employees are appointed, and how that all works throughout the process. We've done a pretty good job of that. This is a cleanup bill that goes through the various statutes that deal with finance officers and just make sure that they all jive with what we have done in the past. If you're appointed, it works this way. If you're hired, it works this way, and it just makes sure that all flows through the finance officer statutes. So we would ask for your support of the bill.
You made it sound so easy. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1095. Anybody else desiring to speak in support of House Bill 1095? Seeing none, is there opposition to House Bill 1095? Anybody wishing to oppose 1095? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony, waive the rebuttal, turn over to committee questions on House Bill 1095. Our discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chair, I think by looking at the name of the prime sponsor in the Senate, there really is no doubt that this is a great bill.
This committee reappreciates that discussion item as well. Additional discussion and or action on House Bill 1095.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move a due pass.
Thank you. A second by Senator Lederman. Senator Holeen, any comments on that due pass motion?
Just looking at the bill, it looks like a lot of cleanup language. I don't see anything offensive in the bill, and so I think it would be a good bill to pass on.
Thank you, Senator Holeen. Additional comments on that motion, a due pass on House Bill 1095. Seeing none, that is the motion before this committee to send House Bill 1095 down to the Senate floor and due pass motion. Liz, would you please call a roll?
Senators Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
78.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move consent.
Second.
A motion and a second to place House Bill 1095 on the consent. Is there any opposition to that? God bless you. House Bill 1095 is going down the Senate floor on the consent. And prior to bringing up our next bill, I just want to remind Senator Lederman that the Senate prime on the previous one also reflected my name.
Yeah.
Senator Lederman.
Is it necessary then to even have discussion? Can we just move to action?
All right, we got another bill we're going to try to work on. House Bill 1105, proponent testimony on House Bill 1105. I did ask Senator Rounds to come here and educate him and see if he could offer a little proponent testimony. Representative, I'm sorry. I was thinking about your brother. Proponent testimony, 1105.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and again, good morning to the honorable members of the Senate Local Government Committee. Before testimony started this morning, you asked the young lady sitting behind me of her most memorable experience, and I've had quite a few this session, but I think the most memorable experience has got to be sitting in front of you folks this morning, learning about how the Senate works their bills. So, being that the House Representative Tim Rounds from Pier District 24, 1105 basically is obsolete language that it really hasn't been used since, well, 1939. It's a part of the red tape cleanup. If you read the language in there, it's just language that isn't used anymore in our statutes. I don't know if there's really a whole lot more to say about this, but it's an opportunity to clean some of the statutes that are in our books, and I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Rounds, thank you. I think there might be additional proponent testimony on 1105, and this is part of the governor's proposal on eliminating old statutes that aren't used.
Morning, Mr. Morning. Chairman, members of the committee. David Weiss, Department of Revenue, here to visit on 1105, seeking your support. It is a cleanup bill. We are repealing 6-9-3 of the code. If you look at that section, it talks about publishing reports. Well, the reports that you're supposed to publish are reports compiled under 6-9-2 of the code. Well, that was repealed by our legislature in 1988, and for some reason they forgot to repeal this section in 1988, and we're just asking for your positive support of this bill and get this cleaned up. We should always leave things better than we found them. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you for your testimony. Additional proponent testimony on 1105. Seeing none, is there any opposition to House Bill 1105? Any opposition to 1105? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony, waive the rebuttal, turn over to committee. Questions, discussion, preferably action on House Bill 1105.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I move to pass.
Second.
Second by Senator Lederman. Words of wisdom on that wonderful motion?
I'll turn it over to my respected colleague from Rapid City, who I think wanted to comment on the bill. No, to testify on behalf of, I applaud the red tape review and applaud the efforts. So,
thank you. Additional discussion on the do pass motion on 1105. Seeing none, that is the motion before this committee to send House Bill 1105 down to the Senate floor and do pass motion. Melissa, would you please call the roll?
Senators Buell, O'Donnell.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Soho.
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
7-A.
Second.
Thank you. Motion and a second. 1105 and consent. Is there opposition to that motion? Seeing none, 1105 is indeed on the consent calendar. Committee, good job in a short period of time. We'll bring up those two bills. We do have, I think it's four other ones prior to that. We'll figure out what we're going to bring up on Wednesday. Anything else to come before this committee before I wish everybody a good weekend, and I hope you enjoyed the couple hours off on Monday morning.
Move adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.